Welcome.
Today's
this
episode
is
brought to you
Jets
by
Run Your
Pool.
For Friday, October
check him out today
1st,
and get
$10
at
I'm
checkout.
Your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, thanking you for making this podcast your first listen each day. Today, I'm going to preview the Week 4 game between the New York Jets and the Tennessee Titans with my friend Dan Burnham, the host of the This Is The Jet Life podcast. All that ahead on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Run Your Pool. Check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon or use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout.
The Jets will host the Tennessee Titans this weekend. It's week 4 NFL action. The Jets will be searching for their first win. And joining me to preview the game is my friend Dan Burnham. Dan hosts This Is The Jet Life podcast on my website, gangrenenation.com. Dan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John.
Dan, always great to have you on. We always have a lot of fun when we get together. I think before we get into the game, it's become kind of a tradition on these preview shows in 2021. We have to talk about Zach Wilson, and you have a little bit of an easier job than David Wyatt did last week previewing the Broncos game, because we're not talking about a 4-interception performance by Zach. It was kind of a rough game, although he did not get a lot of help from his supporting cast, whether you're talking about the receiver core or the offensive line. Dan, what were your reflections on Zach's performance against Denver?
Well, obviously, a couple parts. I think going into the game, we knew that it was going to be kind of a difficult matchup. I mean, this was not the get-right game going against the Broncos and that defense. It was going to be tough. Then when you watch the game happen and you see Zach Wilson under pressure, kind of not diagnosing things, holding the ball for 4 seconds, taking sacks. It looked like he's fixating on players that are just kind of standing there. He's trying to force things in. I think the first play of the game was really telling when he just kind of chucked it to Corey Davis. And it was like, you were hoping it wasn't going to be the same thing as last game. And right away, he's throwing to a blanketed receiver, very, very tight coverage. And luckily it was caught, but it was just like, man, did he really read the field properly on this one? And I think, you know, one of my questions, and I want to ask you as well, is how much of this do you think is Mike LaFleur? And how much of this do you think is Zach Wilson? Because it doesn't seem like anything's being dialed up to be easy for Zach. It seems like everything is a struggle. There's no motion. There's no behind the line of scrimmage stuff. I mean, what are you seeing?
You know, here's what I get on Mike LaFleur for, and I cannot take credit for this because I read it somewhere else, but BYU last year had an offense with a handful of passing staples. One of them was a mesh concept where you have two guys crossing each other, shallow crosses, and they're kind of like supposed to run shoulder to shoulder. If it's man coverage, you kind of get a pick set naturally, and there were a couple other concepts, and Mike LaFleur has not really implemented any of them into the system so far this year. I think frequently what happens is the offensive coordinator takes too much blame when things go wrong, and I do think that the proportion of blame people are putting on LaFleur right now is probably a bit too high. But the biggest criticism I think I would have of him right now is there has to be a balance between what you want to do as a coordinator and what your quarterback does well. And I think especially like when you're breaking a quarterback into the NFL, you want to make him as comfortable as possible. And that means incorporating more of these BYU concepts that he had so much success with last year. So I don't know. How do you feel, Dan? Do you feel LaFleur? I mean, obviously he's not doing a good job. The team scored 20 points in 3 games, but what are your views on LaFleur? I'm interested to hear what somebody else has to say.
I don't want to, like you, I don't want to get too down on him. And I think, like you said, a lot of people just blame the offensive coordinator and stuff when things aren't going well. But when you look at some of the routes that were run and you see, you know, there were a couple of snippets that people were posting online, some of the common ones, like everybody's running the exact same route, the exact same spot. And it takes, you know, 4 guys are covering 3 players and there's no chance they're going to convert on a 3rd and 6. And when you see, like, it looked like a lot of guys were running button hooks. Zach Wilson was holding the ball for 4 seconds and then they were just stopping and staying there waiting for the ball to be thrown. And the coverage is just staying on him. I don't know. My question is, or what I'm wondering, or what I want to see, my dad kind of phrased it well when I was talking to him, is that, do you think that Mike LaFleur is as confused as Zach Wilson? Do you think that Mike LaFleur is calling a good game and Zach Wilson is out there not able to diagnose what he's seeing? Or do you think Mike LaFleur also doesn't know how to get Zach Wilson in the right spots? And I'm anxiously awaiting the answers to that also as the weeks go on.
Yeah, we won't know for sure for at least a couple of weeks. And, you know, I take the charitable view on that play, and I'm assuming somebody ran the wrong route, because you can't possibly tell me the play was drawn up to have all three of those guys run the exact same route in that condensed of a space. And maybe I'm just being too nice to Mike LaFleur. I want to think the Jets are run credibly, which has not always been the case in my years and years of watching them. I think something I really noticed on the tape was I noticed a little hesitancy in Zach Wilson. There were probably like five or six times where he looked like he was loading up to throw and he had a window and he just waited an extra half second to make sure the receiver was open. And you can't do that in the NFL. Windows close quickly. And part of me feels like that's maybe the kind of thing you can get away with BYU, but in the NFL, it's not going to work. And that's natural for a rookie. I think the four interception game against New England, it bugged me because I saw things that I don't think you can write off as just natural rookie stuff. Whereas Denver, the stuff that went wrong, that's more rookie stuff. You know, the game needs to speed up for you. You need to be more decisive with the football. That's the kind of thing that can come with time. Doesn't always, but I wasn't as bothered by that. I think LaFleur, look, he's not doing a great job. I don't think anybody could say he's doing that well. I do think there are receivers open. I think Zach's maybe not seeing them quickly enough, but I don't want to get on Zach too much because this is the kind of stuff you'd expect as a rookie. I mean, Dan, you know it as well as anybody. There's no rookie quarterback playing well right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I use that. I kind of look at the other players and just say, all right, well, we're not that far behind here. I mean, Zach Wilson, honestly, to this point, looks like the second best rookie quarterback in the draft class behind Mac Jones, who hasn't looked good himself. And it's funny because we spend all the time in the offseason talking about how it's going to be a slow learning curve for Zach Wilson, how not to take too much out of the early games, expect some rust. This team's going to take a while to gel, all these new faces and stuff. And then the second it happens, you play against good defenses and the team's not looking great. Everybody's like, whoa, whoa, what's going on? I really think that if we had played Eagles, Jaguars, and, you know, some Cincinnati teams early, this would have been a totally different conversation we'd be having right now. But because it's Panthers, who end up being a great defense, the Patriots, who have Bill Belichick's an ex-defensive backs coach, very good at coaching up that secondary, and then you play the Broncos, it's just not a good slate to make Zach Wilson look good. That said, Zach Wilson's not doing enough with the opportunities. Like you said, he's playing like he's playing. He thinks he's playing against college defenses, and these guys, he's got to throw them open. He's got to be more anticipatory with his throws. He's got to be a little bit quicker, 1, 2, 3 reads. But you're hoping that it's all going to come together. We were expecting this to be a work in progress and gel later on in the season. And I think that with some softer matchups coming up, that's really going to be more telling to me. You know, coming out of the bye, we've got an early bye. I'd expect to see some new things implemented there, getting some new players back there as well. At that like week 7 time, we're going to get some guys added back into the roster. I think that that's kind of a measuring stick point for me right now. And just at this point in time, just get through these weeks, learn what you can, stay healthy. You know, don't take too many big hits, and you know, don't get your confidence shaken too much. You don't want to be looking like Sam Darnold did at the end of his Jets career.
And Dan, I just want to go back to something you said, because I think it was a great point. These are tough defenses that Zach Wilson has faced so far. And I think we all looked at the schedule when it came out and we thought, all right, well, Carolina's not going to be that good. And, you know, even Denver has had a rough couple of seasons. And it turns out these games were a lot tougher than we thought they were going to be. And that's what happens in the NFL. You never really know who the good teams are going to be. Every year around, there's around a 50% turnover in the playoff teams. So as you said, maybe as the schedule gets a little bit softer going forward, we'll see better results. But let's talk about this game. What are your expectations for Zach against Tennessee?
I think he's got to get the ball out quicker. I think that Tennessee doesn't have a crazy good pass rush. They've got a few players. Harold Landry's been getting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. He's got to watch out for these guys. You know, he's been kind of beaten up by some of the defensive linemen that get to him because he holds it for 4 seconds. But if he can get the ball out early, we have to get the run game going. That's a huge part of this offense. Everything was supposed to be ground and pound, dictated by the run, make it easy on the quarterback, set up some play actions and things. That's going to be imperative in this game. If they can make it easier on him, it's not the best defense. It's probably the worst defense that we've played so far this year. There's definitely some areas that they can try to exploit. And I think that he can have a bounce back game. It's still not going to look super pretty, but I do expect it to be his best game of the season so far. Maybe looking a little bit like that second half of the Carolina Panthers game where he wasn't stellar, but he was playing some pretty solid football.
and you've said it again, and normally I cringe when people use this analysis because it's the most generic NFL speak there is, but it's true with the Jets. The Jets do need to establish the run game. That's what this offense is built on. This is an offense where they want to make sure Zach Wilson stays in reasonable downs. They want to get a push on the offensive line. The Jets have told us that's what this offense is all about, and I think it begins with the run blocking. There's no way around it. The run blocking has to be better than it was last week. It has to get back to where it was 2 weeks ago against New England.
Mm-hmm. That was the one game that we ran the ball really well. Unfortunately, it was the one game that Zach Wilson's just throwing the ball away. If we can get a running game like we had against New England, I think that we're going to be in some decent shape to at least, you know, not get shut out, start putting up some points and getting these guys going.
And of course, we have the Corey Davis revenge game right here. You know, week one, we had all sorts of revenge games. We had the Robbie Anderson revenge game, the Sam Darnold revenge game. I was focused on the Pat Elflein revenge game. I think that that was really probably what put Carolina over the top in that game. Are we going to see the Corey Davis we saw week one, putting up 95 yards, 2 touchdowns? Or is it going to be the Corey Davis of the last 2 weeks where there were a couple of plays, and I'm not sure all of these were necessarily drops, but these were plays that could have been made, plays that where the ball was in his hands and he did not come up with them. And if you're dealing with, you know, maybe your number three receiver, you can excuse it, but Corey Davis is getting paid a lot of money. Is he going to produce in this game against his former team?
You know, I think he will. I think that because the team is going to be able to hopefully establish the run a little bit more, things will be a little bit easier on Zach Wilson. He'll be a little bit more comfortable, hopefully, against this defense. I think that he's shown that he targets Corey Davis at a very high clip. I mean, it's like 10 targets last game, only for 5 receptions, but he's throwing it his way. He does try to force the ball to Corey Davis. I think that he's a good enough player. You know, we saw it in week one. We've seen it throughout his career. He's definitely, in my opinion, trending up from when he was drafted. He just keeps getting better every year. And I do think that he will bounce back. I don't know about 2 touchdowns in this game, but I would be expecting something along the lines of 80 yards, maybe a touchdown.
I always thought you were going to say 3 touchdowns. You said not 2 touchdowns, maybe 3 touchdowns against this former team.
Who knows? Revenge games can be crazy. You never know when a guy's just going to really, you know, step on the gas.
We saw Pat Elflein destroy the Jets 3 weeks ago. That was
that was?
Channel your inner Pat Elflein, Corey Davis.
That was just rage towards the Jet. You know, you let me go, and here I'm going to show you. Was that just a bad defensive line and these turning parts on defense? I mean, it's a mess over there.
We'll get to that in a little bit. I don't think we're done yet with this glorious offense the Jets are running. And, of course, the Jets dealing with some question marks at the receiver position. Will we get Jamison Crowder back? Elijah Moore in the concussion protocol? I have to ask the question, is this the week we'll see Denzel Mims? At some point, do you think that the Jets will turn to Denzel Mims to try and spark this offense?
I don't think they're going to turn to him. I think that I thought that a couple times that maybe, you know, after his big, he played 3 snaps in the first game and had 40 yards, a nice 40-yard catch, almost scored a touchdown there. And you're like, okay, well, in 3 snaps, he definitely had a little bit of an impact on the game. But they've made him inactive for a while. I think that when you look at the way it's drawn up, if Jamison Crowder comes back, you basically take Elijah Moore out if he's in concussion protocol and add in Jamison Crowder there. There really doesn't open up a spot. You'd have to take down a guy like Braxton Berrios or Jeff Smith, who, you know, somewhat recently he was in a car accident, but he seems to be okay. So I assume that he'd probably be ready to play in the game. They don't seem to be ready to play Denzel Mims right now. I think he's got to work on his blocking because they expect their outside receivers to block well. I think he's got to work on some timing, some route running and things like that. And, you know, receivers take a while to develop. I'm not really down on this right now. He's on the active roster, just inactive for the games. It's not that big of a deal to me because we have other players. We've got Keelan Cole on a 1-year deal. Jamison Crowder may not be here for very long. Denzel Mims will have opportunities to play, and if he plays well, he's still under contract for more years. He's going to have opportunities. Maybe not this week.
Now, you alluded to this a little bit, and I got to be honest with you. I'm a little concerned with this matchup of the Jets' offensive line against these Titans' pass rushers. Maybe you're more confident in this line. I actually think Tennessee's got some decent players up there, Danico Autry, Harold Landry. Do you think this offensive line is going to hold up against this Titans' pass rush?
I think it's mostly those guys and Jeffrey Simmons. It's like 4 players that are getting a pass rush, mostly from the defensive line, and you know the Harold Landry kind of plays like a defensive end. I think that they're going to be able to hold up. relatively well. The thing is Zach Wilson going to hold on to the ball? Because a lot of the sacks are happening because he's holding it for 3, 4, 5 seconds, and he's got to be, you know, handing the ball off, or he's got to be doing quick timing routes until he's comfortable in seeing the field quick enough. If he's not seeing the field well, he can't just stand back there and wait, because our offensive line is not good enough to give him one of those crazy pockets that can just hold up for 8 seconds. Maybe he's got to get on the run a little bit more, roll out a little bit early rather than waiting until a guy's already on him. I think we saw that last week. He tried to kind of wait until players were at him and then try to flush out of the pocket, but they were already there and he was going down this week. If he can get out a little bit earlier, if he anticipates the pressure coming, if he does have to hold it, that could help. It is a pretty good defensive line. I would expect Harold Landry to find ways to get through and make him uncomfortable. I think Danico Autry as well, I'd expect him to get through a bit, but it shouldn't be. I mean, you just expect him to grow and progress, and you expect him to be able to start picking up on these things. Right now, he's holding the ball like a rookie, and is this the week that he bounces back a little bit and starts to get the ball out of his hands? How many times can you do it? Just stand back there without thinking, hey, I got to get it out of my hands, even throw it out of bounds.
Well, hopefully the Jets can add some fuel to their offense. When you're adding fuel to your car, you can get up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time you fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank.
Now let's move to the other side of the ball for the Jets. I think it's pretty simple. If the Jets somehow figure out a way to slow down Derrick Henry, they have a shot to stay in this game, if not win it, but not an easy task. Very interesting, Dan. I don't think there are many offenses in the NFL you can say are built around a running back. And in the first 4 weeks of the season, the Jets get two of them. They get Carolina with Christian McCaffrey and now Tennessee with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because there's injuries right now to Julio Jones potentially and AJ Brown. And so you already knew it was going to be a Derrick Henry centric sort of offense for the Titans. And now with those two players out, they don't really have anybody else who's been getting targets, who's been getting receptions. I mean, Chester Rogers would be a name that potentially would be moved up, but this is a team. They've got 7 handoffs to a non Derrick Henry running back this entire season, only 7 through 3 games. Derrick Henry is getting every other carry, 80 carries on the year. And it's one of those things that you see him get 30 carries in a game, and then you're like, well, maybe next game they won't rely on him so much, and they just hand it back to him, 28 carries. This guy can take a mega workload, and they would love to ride him against the Jets and let him just pulverize, especially if they're without their two top wide receivers. This is obviously the big matchup when you look at the Jets' defense versus their offense. I think every team comes into Tennessee or playing against Tennessee, though, and thinks we have to stop Derrick Henry. That's the real way to stop this team, and it doesn't always work. He's good enough to get through tackles. He's good enough to beat you up. And the big thing that worries me with it is that Zach Wilson has been going three and out so much so early, and the defense is on the field for so long. And early in the game, the defense has looked pretty good. First, second drives of the game, the defense looks good. But then there gets to be a breaking point where they're not finishing tackles. Running backs are running through them. We saw Damian Harris break a big run against them. There were a couple from Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams last week. I think that if the Jets are down in this game and Zach Wilson can't get the ball moving downfield, the defense is on the field for too long. The Titans are up like 13-0 at the half and the Jets aren't moving it. Derrick Henry is going to have a field day. Even if we can stop him early, you can't stop him forever.
And that's a great point. And it's something I don't think we talk enough about, complementary football, how the offense impacts the defense and vice versa. And this is a Tennessee team you don't want to get the lead on you because they have that back in Derrick Henry who can grind the game out. Whereas if the Jets can get off to a fast start in this game, Tennessee could be in some trouble because they don't have the receivers in this game to punish you for keying on Henry. And I think that that's one of the things that made them such a difficult matchup on paper heading into this game when we thought they were going to have Julio Jones and AJ Brown. If you load the box on them, they have guys who can get open down the field and crush you. So I think the Jets, maybe in their game plan, things have become a little bit easier. They're not going to have to deal with these receivers. Now, it's great analysis. Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are out, and the game plan's easier. That's the kind of analysis you can only get on the Locked On Jets podcast, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry is always going to be one of those guys that you have to try to stop. I think that what you said is absolutely right. If they can get an early lead, that's the way. But if the Jets have a 7-0 lead, say, in like the second, third quarter, I don't think Tennessee's going to abandon the run. I think they would just stay true to it and just keep riding him until it works, because it will eventually work as defenses get tired. You'd really have to start putting up some points and put some pressure on him, maybe score on the first two drives or two out of the first three drives or something like that. And I'm not confident right now in thinking that this Jets offense is about to just unload something in the first quarter of the game against the Titans. I mean, we have two touchdowns in the entire season, both of them from Corey Davis in the second half of the Panthers game. And that's it. Other than that, I got to see it before, you know, I start thinking that we're going to be putting up a big early lead. And I do think that Zach Wilson can get comfortable, but it's not a great matchup for the Jets just because their offense is sputtering and Derrick Henry is running really, really well right now.
And the other thing is, look, the Jets have small linebackers. So that means guys are really going to have to keep flying to the football. You know, it's going to be tough to bring him down with one guy. You're going to need two, three guys to keep coming after him. Jets scheme is built to have speed at the linebacker position. That's what they emphasize. That's why they tried to sign Keanu Neal in free agency. It's why they drafted Nasruddin and Sherwood and moved them to linebacker. And it has its benefits. You know, it maybe allows them to not put as much on their corners. The fact you have linebackers who can cover so much ground, but a game like this, that could be an area where it's an issue because Derrick Henry is tough to bring down for normal sized linebackers and the Jets are a little undersized at the position.
Yeah. You build yourself for speed. You try to make sure that, you know, you run this zone and then you try to force teams to throw screens against you in quick passes. And then you try to get your linebackers to get out on them early. Robert Saleh, I think, refers to it as the kill zone, where you really go after those guys in the first 5 yards. But you're right, it's not built to stop a big back like Derrick Henry. And, you know, Nasruddin hasn't really impressed us thus far. Some of the defensive line leaves a lot to be desired. You've got a pretty good middle. I feel very good about Foley Fadakasi, Quinnen Williams, and Sheldon Rankins in the middle. I feel great about those guys. When you talk about, like, the amount of snaps that Tim Ward is getting in his production, Bryce Huff's snaps and then his production, Shaq Lawson has had some moments here and there, but seems to be good for one bonehead play every single game. It's going to be tricky. You're going to put a lot on C.J. Mosley. I think that they know that. I think that they would know to block C.J. Mosley, run away from him. But even still, I mean, it's Derrick Henry, right? He's one of the best running backs we've seen in the last 10 years for a reason. This guy can run through just about anybody.
And now one thing I'm looking for in this game is the Jets have to take advantage of opportunities present themselves. And what I mean by that is with new receivers going in there, there may not be the chemistry Ryan Tannehill has with his starting receivers, and sometimes there's miscommunication in situations like that. Maybe a guy runs the route the wrong way. Maybe there's an opportunity to pick the pass off. I thought the Jets had a couple opportunities against Denver that they did not take advantage of. This week, especially when you're the underdog, when you're an undermanned team, when an opportunity to make a game-changing play presents itself, the ball hits you in the hands, it can't hit the ground.
Yeah, and the Jets have not been making a lot of flashy plays on defense. I mean, they haven't made them on offense either, but they really haven't been forcing too many fumbles. They have a couple. They have no interceptions on the season, minimal amount of sacks. I mean, they need some big plays in there. And is this the week that they get it going? They don't have an interception on the year. No player on the team right now. I mean, I'd like to see it. Ryan Tannehill has thrown more than you'd expect him to at this point in the season. So it's possible. And with the wide receivers being banged up, if you do go to those guys, I think you made a great point. The chemistry is not necessarily always there. You move a guy outside that he doesn't usually play there. Timing's off just a little bit. We haven't really seen these young cornerbacks too many opportunities to try to pull down balls. And I don't know what kind of hands Brandon Echols or Michael Carter the second half. Hopefully when the ball's thrown, it is caught.
And maybe to make these game-changing plays, the Jets defenders should be eating their Built Bars. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar on the market. There are 9 delicious flavors, and if you have not tried all of them yet, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 each of the 9 flavors. And not only are these flavors the best-tasting, they're healthy, too. So go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order if you do that. Again, it's promo code LOCKED15, one word with no space, LOCKED, number 5, for 15% off at Built, BUILT.com.
All right, Dan, it's time to make our picks. How do you see this game playing out?
So I would like to think that the Jets can get a little bit more offense going than they've had. I think that this matchup kind of allows for it. I would say we can score maybe 13 points, but when it comes to stopping Derrick Henry, stopping this team for much of the game, the Tennessee Titans, I think they're capable of putting up somewhere around 26 points. My prediction is Jets lose 13-26, which is not maybe what everybody wants to hear, but at least it's, you know, limiting a team under 30 points and then finally getting the offense moving a little bit. I think it'll be steps in the right direction. I think this whole thing is a work in progress and it's going to get better, but it's still going to be, it's going to be difficult in the meantime. You have to work through it.
Well, everybody heard my thoughts yesterday on the crossover show with the host of Locked On Titans. As I said to him, there are two big issues I have with the Tennessee Titans. First of all, is their head coach is Mike Vrabel, who not only is a former Patriot, but a guy who played linebacker. In 2005, I went to a game, week 16, the Jets and Patriots playing Monday night. Mike Vrabel, a linebacker, catches two touchdowns against them because Belichick put him at tight end in that game. And the second issue I have with the Tennessee Titans is they're kind of like at the other end of the Adam Gase spectrum, where they benefited from Adam Gase because they got Ryan Tannehill when his value was at the lowest. They got a legitimate quarterback because of Adam Gase, whereas we had to suffer for 2 years because of Adam Gase. So I would love to see, those are maybe silly reasons to dislike a team, but I kind of dislike the Tennessee Titans for those two reasons. So I'd love to see the Jets pull out a win in this one, but I agree with you, Dan. And part of this is I have made very optimistic predictions the last 3 weeks about the Jets in the preview shows. Even though I did not think they'd win last week, I said they'd play well, which obviously did not happen. And I said, you know, if the Jets get blown out, there's no way I'm picking them to do well against Tennessee. I agree with you. I think later in this season, we'll see improvement, but I just think in many ways, this is a tough matchup. And I think that it'll probably be somewhere in that range. I think the Titans probably win it by 10 or so. That's my prediction.
Yeah. And I think I saw the odds being like 7.5 points, but the Jets are home. So you typically get like 3 points for being home. So it is probably projected to be about a 10 point game, something like that. It's going to be tricky. It's possible this could be, it's the NFL. Any week, anything can happen. This team is so young. We have a lot to evaluate, but you know, I'd be expecting some surprises, I suppose. I had high hopes for week one. I expected the Jets to win that game, and then going up against the Patriots after losing, I was like, no way we're beating the Patriots, because that just never happens for us. And then after that game, it was like, we're just been trending down. At this point, I have almost no confidence to pick the Jets to win a game until I start seeing some sort of offensive production or defensive flashy plays or even like a special teams touchdown or something to make me think that we can get in the end zone.
All right, well, Dan, thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll have to have you back again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe to it wherever podcasts are found, and leave it a 5-star review. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll be back Monday.